Welcome to Tavern Tales Presents The Power of Friendship, a 5e Dungeons & Dragons actual play curated for your enjoyment.
Just motioning like, don't hit him. Embrace it.
Squirrel just breathe deeply and just kind of just lean and try to have him go the other direction. And just in his head, don't ruin Ellis's show. Don't ruin Ellis's show.
Ellis, you open your eyes to see if you're doing okay. You've staunchly kept them closed for much of the singing. You open your eyes and you see Benson himself. That was his name, right? Luthier, who wanted to sell you the shop so he could retire to make lutes for his own peace of mind. You weren't really too sure what his retiring goals were, why he was going to sell you the shop. He's standing there in the back, and you're not too sure how his expression is very muted, and you'd need to make a very difficult insight check in order to know how Benson is taking your performance right now.
All right. Actually, I do have good insight. All right, yeah, so I got a 21.
Yeah, you know how Benson is feeling here. He's feeling pride at the accomplishments of his students, but you also sense in him, because you did get over a 20, an urgency to him and a need to communicate with you. And he's antsy for your performance to be over. And if you had gotten under 10, you would have taken that antsiness about your performance needing to be over for not an enjoyment of your performance.
You mean so normal life for me, like Christmas?
Sure.
I'm just joking.
Too real.
I don't know you well enough yet. I want to give you a hug now.
Well, thank you all. I'm really glad that you're enjoying my performance.
We want another song. That was only two.
Well, I got to take a 5-minute break, and then I'll be back to play 40 30-second songs.
All right. I don't know if I have time for that. That's like an hour and a half, right?
I put down my lute, and I walk by the bullies to Benson. I go, Benson, did you enjoy that?
Okay, I don't know anything about Benson yet, and we haven't had him described by Christopher, so I need an adjective to give me a sense of who Benson is. Do you want to offer that, Christopher?
Patient.
No, okay, he's patient. And describe his physicality for me, Dwayne.
Extremely lanky, very long limbs, long fingers.
That makes sense for a luthier. What race is he, Dwayne?
I pictured an elf.
Okay, he's elven. That's interesting. And Christina, what is he wearing?
He's wearing a sort of tan shirt, and it has a dark green sort of doublet over it. And he's got a belt that kind of has a nice little twisty to it. And pants. He's wearing pants.
Not hose. He's wearing
pants. He's wearing, say, tight trousers and leather boots.
So he seems to be very well put together, this Benson. Does he have his lute on him or not, Christopher?
He does not.
Does anybody want to tell me what kind of voice he has, or do I have to just make up something on the spot?
Southern drawl.
Well, now, there, Ellis, done yourself a mighty good performance tonight.
Aw, thanks, Benson.
If you don't mind, I'd like you to sit with me for a little bit here and have a drink.
I don't mind at all, yeah.
Excellent. I'm drinking Southern Comforts.
Oh, I need to buy it? And I
know, just wondered if that's what you wanted to have as well.
Yeah, I mean, I could totally buy it. I just left my money in my other...
That's fine, boy. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll take a Southern Comfort, please.
You done your mother proud up there, I want you to know.
Oh, well, I never knew my mother, but I always assumed she was proud of me.
Well, I knew her pretty well, and I would say that, she'd have been mighty proud of that pudding song of yours.
Yeah, I think...
She liked the trivialities of life.
A lot of trivialities add up to big things, I find.
That's your dad talking, isn't it? Your old pappy's a good man.
He is a good man. I worry about him sometimes, though. He's getting older.
Well, it's good to have worries. Keeps you in the present. Look, Ellis, he won't buy my shop. Seems like you're content and intent on going about into the world there, making a name for yourself.
I've thought about it, but then I thought about not doing that.
Well, it sounds like you've had many thoughts going through your head.
At least two.
Well, if that is your intent and you fight off this don't-do-nothing thought, you might be interested in, it was an old family heirloom from my grandpappy. But it's tucked up tight in the tomb, just outside of town.
Like a tomb like where dead people are?
Well, ain't you the bright one?
He sips his Southern Comfort.
I sip with him, follow suit.
Of the same glass? He's like,
no, this is mine.
Oh, sorry. And I grabbed the other one. I was just so intent on listening to his story that I just grabbed the wrong one. So what about this tomb?
Well, let me tell you about it.
He takes another big swig. Score, that bully who basically blew his nose on your shirt, says,
yo, it's been a like long time since I saw you, Scorch Mark. What have you been up to?
Name is Score, and
yeah, I know that. We all called you Scorch Mark, right?
Yes, you did, and did not enjoy that at all. But
whatever, it's just a cute nickname, dude.
And he gives you a shove to the chest.
Vivi is like behind him, just like glaring dagger. She's not doing anything, but she's given eyes.
I just want you to know that it's been a while. I'm going to let it go. Name is Score, and do not touch me. I like to keep my space to my space and your space to your space.
Well, like you didn't like that nickname? You didn't like the nickname?
I hate it.
What's wrong with you, dude?
I hate it. Dude, I would like you to never call me that again, if that is something you are capable of.
Why didn't you say that, like, ever?
Because there was always, like, seven of you and one of me, and I really did not want to get beat up on a regular basis.
Whoa. We were beating you up?
Well, verbal abuse is a form of abuse, so yes, you were being abusive.
I had no idea, bro, that you felt that way. Why didn't you just say something?
I often did, but you just kept calling me Scorch Mark and would not listen.
But then you would all be like, yeah, whatever, dipshits. And then you would, like, punch people and stuff.
Well, I have been trying to work on my temper, which is why I have yet to punch you in your very, very punchable face. So...
Whoa. Why do you want to punch me in my punchable face?
Don't punch him in his punchable face. That's a bad idea.
You keep calling me the name that... I do not want to be called, so that is why you'll be punched in your punchable face. Please stop, please.
So you don't like to be called a term of endearment, and the first time you tell me you don't want to be called it, you're going to tell me you... Like, I feel like you're not recognizing my emotional state here, dude.
Vivi can totally see that the flames are starting to get a little bit brighter, a little bit bigger on him as he's starting to feel the rage. I don't care about your emotional state, dude. I just... want you to call me by my name. I'm not asking something that you're not capable of.
Well, of course not, now that you've told us that you don't like the term Scorch Mark, which is like a really good nickname, and also like things you did regularly.
Not on purpose. Do you like people calling you?
I don't know. That brand on the teacher's desk was like totally on purpose.
Do you want people to keep calling you Ledwetter? We stopped calling you that.
Look. I understand when my last name is Ledbetter that people are going to make fun of me in that regard. And I asked them, and they stopped. Except for Phil. Fuck Phil. That guy's a bully.
We have a mutual enemy. let us bond over this hatred of Phil. He is a douche.
Whoa. Phil's working on it. That's why he's here tonight.
Yeah, guys, like, I'm really sorry. I've been antagonistic, but I've been learning about how to be a better person, and I'm very sorry for having given everyone inappropriate nicknames and then persisted in their use.
That's very mature of you, Phil. I'll take back the douchebag line. I apologize.
No, I mean, it's a fair assessment of my character.
I'm glad that this is all coming out and I no longer have to secretly hate all of you. Maybe we can move forward and become friends. That would be a very beautiful thing to mend this broken fence.
I don't know if I speak for everyone here. Maybe I just speak for Phil. But I don't think so. You're a very ragey, antagonistic sort of person, and you're hard to talk to at the best of times, Score. So I came here to see Sabrina tonight because we're all, well, she's awesome. And this music's been okay, but it's kind of nice that we've had this opportunity to come to a rapprochement with you there, Score. I don't wish you ill, but I don't really wish you well.
That's not very nice.
I will take that as a win in this situation because...
Same here. All the best to you and yours. He offers you his hand.
He will hesitate for a second, flex his hand, and go, shake Phil's hand and go, good luck to you and your future endeavors as well, Phil.
Cool. As you do that, the door bangs open and the sheriff of the town stands there, desperately looking about, saying, Vivi, I need Vivi. We'll get to him or her in a moment. I'll let you all describe who the sheriff of Red Larch is, because Benson has just finished telling Ellis about this tomb outside of town.
Well, can I bring my friends?
I wouldn't expect you do so there, son, because the tomb is told to be haunted.
You mean there's ghosts?
I don't know about plural, but it is said that the occupants, servants, were tied to the tomb forevermore.
Oh, well, I mean, you've mentored me for many years, and my stomach is kind of hurting, but... All right, I'll do it.
Glad to hear it. If your stomach's hurting, it's that southern comfort.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Or maybe it's the ghosts.
I don't think they'd have a spiritual connection to you just yet there, son.
Oh, well, I'm gonna bring my friends on this mission, and we'll get your heirloom back. What does it look like?
Oh, it's not for me. I'm telling you to go get it, and it's yours forevermore.
Oh, well, will I know it when I see it?
Indeed you will. It's all tucked up tight in the tomb itself, honey.
Is it goat bread?
He very patiently looks at you for a long time.
I'm not
he
hearing
nods
it,
nods his head, gives that, like, lip lick move. Place has grown rather silent before he finally says,
that doesn't exist yet, so how could it have existed in the past?
Yeah, I guess a man can always hope.
Indeed he can. Well now, Ellis, you'll find it in the deepest part of the mausoleum, underneath the coffin stone cap.
Let me write this down. Vivi.
Yes?
Vivi. Is Vivi within earshot?
Vivi is... engaged.
Oh, okay.
To be married to the sheriff. No, just...
So I look over and I see that I can't get her attention. I go, okay, I'll try and remember it the best I can. Go ahead, say it slowly.
He tells you all of the details.
Okay.
And we'll get to that later. We finish up. Your 5 minutes are done. It's time to head back on stage. When you turn around, you see the sheriff is there. What race is and sex and general appearance of this sheriff do you see, Ellis, when you turn and see silhouetted in the door the sheriff?
Oh, I see a short dwarven male that is red-faced and bearded, and he walks with like a slight limp as he walks through the bar. He's got a very distinct gait.
And it's uncommon for him to limp. I love it. Dwayne, what's he wearing?
I see him as being someone who takes the job overly seriously. So he's wearing like too much armor for like this small little town where like you could probably get away with some simple, like would be like normal leather armor. He's like decked out in like almost like a plate mail. Like he's ready to go fight a dragon.
Yes. Wow.
He takes his job seriously. He's a professional.
What's his name, Christina?
Leonardo. Leonardo McDougal.
Why does everybody always make dwarves Scotsmen?
It's just because it goes with the drinking and the rambunctiousness.
And the rage.
Yeah, it ties in.
All right. Oh, Lassie, I need your help.
Why?
Vivi, come over here and help me. I'm limping, but good.
I sort of scurry up and walk over. I'm very confused because most people never want my help, at least not in public. It's kind of like, looks down like, hi.
Lord Tundrin, it's a terrible day. Oh.
Did you drink too much again last night? Do you need a potion?
No, I need your help. You're a wizard, don't you?
Yes, last time I checked.
And there'd be bandits out by the old Greenfield place.
Why do you need a wizard?
I need you, Vivi.
Okay. Are you asking me to get rid of the bandits, Mr. McDougal, sir?
Sheriff McDougal.
Sheriff McDougal, sir.
Honor the title, honor the badge.
I'm so sorry.
I need you. Get your friends together. You're all adventurers now, aren't you? I heard from me old drinking buddy, the wizard.
Oh, you sound Rupert. Rupert. How is he?
He said this is a good test for your skills.
Oh, okay. Well, if he says so, then I should probably do it.
Is that chili?
It's really spicy. Be careful. Your indigestion is going to get you in the
Don't
end.
Don't you go telling me about me indigestion. You go take care of the bandits. I'll have me dinner.
All right, but if you need a tonic, I'm not going to be back in time, so you're just going to have to deal with it.
Care about your elven tonics.
You will in the morning.
A stout dwarven beer will be all I need to stem the tide of a spicy taste bud.
Well, that's not what you said last week, but go ahead.
Oh, how dare you bring up the past.
Sorry, Sheriff McDougal, sir, but I'll just leave one out in my little box outside of my door just in case you change your mind.
You're still here.
Well, okay, bye. She walks off back to score, and she's like tapping Ellis on the shoulder. She's like, come here, come here, come here.
Benson, hold on one second. Yeah, Vivi, what's up?
So, change of plans. Maybe not. I don't know.
I didn't even know we had plans.
We
awesome.
Have plans. It's so great. Sheriff McDougal, do you want me to leave now?
Well, bandits aren't going to take care of themselves, is
That's
they?
That's right. There's bandits. Okay, so we have to go get some bandits. Do you want to get bandits with me? It's going to be super fun. Maybe. I don't know. It might be dangerous.
It does sound dangerous. I don't know. Where are they?
Sheriff McDougal, where are the bandits?
Where's Paula? Where the bandits are? Oh, it's spicy.
What he said. Oh, wait, I remember. They're by the Greenfield.
Greenfield?
Oh, that's your place.
That's my dad.
Oh, this is really awkward. Whoa. We should go.
Christina, not playing against type here. Truly inhabiting the character.
We should go.
Yeah, we gotta go. Benson, can I'm gonna tell them about the tomb, but I gotta go help my dad.
Benson's drinking.
All right, I'll talk to you later then. And I swig the last of the Southern Comfort.
Nice. Make a constitution check.
Liquid courage. Oh, no.
Oh, nat 20. Hooray!
Thank God.
Oh, I'm rolling hot tonight on these dice. I'm not changing awesome. Them.
Benson looks at you and says, you can do what you will with the time, boy. It's been sitting there for years already. No need to be getting it tonight. But the tomb is pretty close to the Greenfield farm of your pappy's.
Oh, wow. He never told me about it. Do you have a map?
You done never gone to the graveyard?
No, I haven't died yet.
Well, aren't you a lucky soul? Put a lot of friends there.
That's sad.
Youth. I'll have another miss. And well, with that, he's definitely done talking to you.
Ellis, your dad's in trouble. Let's go.
And I run out with
Vivi. You don't get to run out because you go to pack up your loot and start to leave. And unnamed Bully and Phil are there. And he says, where do you think you're going?
Oh, there's been an emergency, but...
No, we got we paid 2 silver for this concert, and you owe us the rest of your songs.
I suppose I could give you 2 silver back.
Dude, like, you're gonna pay us all back? That's 2 silver for me, and 2 silver for Phil, and 2 silver for Sundry, and 2 silver for Clara, and 2 silver for Samantha, and 2 silver for Bethany, and 2 silver for Bellamy.
Well, I don't quite have that money right now, but I swear I could get it to you next week.
Yeah, Score will just stand up and go, he has something to do with his dad. Respect that, okay? It's just some music. He'll be back. We'll play a full set in the park or something for you guys later. Calm. He's got to help his dad.
No way, man. We paid to be here tonight. You owe us the rest of your set.
His dad could be on fire right now. Have you no shame?
It's not like the sheriff told him to go.
It's his
dad. But the sheriff told me to take my friends. And they're my friends. You're not my friends. They're my friends. So they're going to come with me.
This sounds like a big play, says Phil. that you would all just like play the only songs you know and then leave.
Well, I can't play songs I don't know.
Any other songs. And he pokes you in the chest.
Ow, that hurt.
And you not playing songs has hurt me.
Phil, you're not showing your best self right now.
It seems like your problem here is with the Rambler establishment and their booking process, and not so much Ellis. They should have had a second act or something, so why don't you go talk to the manager?
What do you mean? He already told us he had 40 more 30-second songs.
Yes, but family emergency trumps your listening needs.
Really? If it's a family emergency, why isn't the sheriff there, and why did the sheriff talk to her and not him? This isn't adding up. I feel like he's just finding a way and an excuse to flee. His civic duty.
It's not his civic duty. You are so entitled, mister. Entitled. But talk to the manager if you're that upset, but we have to go. Okay? I'm the wizard. I'm making go boom. I can make you go boom. I won't do that because I'm...
You threatening me? That's not nice at all. I just want him to finish his set.
Why is it so important to you? Do you not want to go home tonight? Are you okay?
These are strange questions, and it feels like you're belying the point when I really just want him to finish his set.
Why is it so important to you, though?
I paid 2 silver. We all paid 2 silver to be here.
Well, that is true.
I had to sit through that terrible chili.
Whoa. What did you say about the chili?
Well, I didn't like it. It's far too spicy for my sensitive disposition.
Yeah, you're really sensitive.
They didn't even offer any sour cream or a wheel of bread.
Just because you have an unsophisticated palate and cannot enjoy delicacies, do not take it out on the food. That's just rude.
I'm allowed not to like something. Goodness me.
I'm not going to stand here while my father gets robbed by bandits and listen to this anti-chili lecture. Phil, out of my way. And I push him aside, or I try to push him aside.
Make an intimidation check, because that seems like what you're doing, right?
Yeah, okay. Totally.
Are you skilled at intimidation? Is this a thing that your character is good at?
I don't think so. I am really skilled at it. Any wisdom, I dumped intelligence. I'm really bad at like history, arcana, like that stuff. Nature, but I'm good at Yeah, exactly. I got a 3 on the dice, but I got a +7 in intimidation. God. So
you
a 10.
You have a 20 charisma?
I put it all in charisma.
He's a bard.
You're a bard. Yeah, I just figured. So you have a 20 charisma and you are proficient in intimidation.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't blow my top often, but when I do...
No, I'm like, really sorry. I didn't mean that. I just wanted to hear your songs, and now I feel like you're mean. You're mad at me. I'm really sorry, sir.
Go drink some milk and cool off your tongue, pal.
Okay.
And I storm by him out the door.
Yeah.
Follow right behind him. Very proud of him.
He totally called you, Phil. Shut up, bedwetter. I told you not to call me that anymore.
He's like,
scene.
Bye. And just chases after them.
It's like 9-10 o'clock at night. You're headed out onto the road, out to the Greenfield Farm, which, as Christopher distinctly said, is an hour or two out of the village.
Power walking.
Are there horses or anything that we could borrow?
Do you own a horse? I don't recall your character sheet seeing horse on it.
No, but in this town of people, there might be someone who's sympathetic to the man who's trying to get back to his father. That's not an outlandish thing to assume.
Cool. Okay. Let's see that happen.
Okay, sure. When we head outside of the Rambler, I assume there's a stable. So there's a town stable. No?
No, there is no stable.
Where do people keep their horse in front of their homes?
There are not very many townies that have horses. Those that do probably have them pastured at this point at night.
You know what? Let's head over. There's got to be someone with a horse we can borrow because I really don't feel like running for 2 hours to get to Ellis's place.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, there must be horses somewhere, but you mean steal them?
We'll ask, and you are unbelievably gifted at persuasion, my friend, and maybe we can somehow get them to understand your plight, and we will go save your father and bring them back, and we'll thank them profusely.
All right.
The only light is coming out of the several windows of the Rambler, which is still open for those who are wishing to have an enjoyable evening of entertainment at the Rambler.
How does dark vision affect this?
Well, I mean, you can still see, so you can make out the things around you, but dimly.
Gotcha.
You would have disadvantage on any attacks you want to make in the darkness within, I think it's 30 feet, and then you have an additional dark vision for an additional 30 feet, at which anything beyond that, you're making unhappy attacks. The moon is out, though, because I did say it was a bright, sunny, nice day. You can hear an owl hoot off in the distance because, again, this is a very small town of only about 200 people. The quarry has an old nag type Clydesdale horse that's to the north. There is a farrier. They may have brought in a couple of horses to be reshoed, and they might have one or two, but they'd have all been bedded down for the night and the horses would be sleeping.
Vivi looks around and she says, "Does anyone have anything I can light on fire?"
Score will just summon fire in his hand.
Oh, that's right. You are fire.
I am fire. So yeah, I'll just summon a ball of fire in my hand that it just lights up a 10-foot space around us for now. But
it seems like everyone's asleep. Are we okay waking people up? I don't mind waking people up, but I mean,
we'll just be very polite about it and then just say we are on a very important mission because there's bandits. Everyone's scared of bandits. Like, they'll be like, "Oh yes, we will help you against the bandits." Because if they don't, bandits would come closer to town and steal everything.
Okay, what would be the closest thing to us where we would find a horse?
Well, you did spend a lot of time away to become a monk, and you've only recently returned, so you're not too sure who would have a horse in town.
Would Vivi, because she's stayed in town.
Sure, yeah. Vivi, with her practical learning here, she's aware of the old Clydesdale by the quarry to the north. There are a couple of other more wealthy individuals in town that do own a horse, but that horse is out to pasture. They'd have to go and get the horse, saddle it up,
Okay. Bring
it to you for their cart or whatnot.
I will say that the hour or two journey really flies by.
Okay, like I get that. Like I know, and you're like, you'll tell stories, you'll go super fast. But I'm just concerned that we give the bandits 2 hours to ransack your farm. Not that they're going to, but we should be fast. But, you know, at the quarry, there's a Clydesdale, and, like, we could probably all fit on it. It's a really big horse. We can just ask or leave a note.
They're going to have a cart or something. We'll borrow a cart, borrow a horse. It's going to work, I promise. I have faith in us.
I'll make them cookies. They'll be fine.
I've got an idea. And I run back into the bar and go behind the bar and pull out a bottle of liquor if I can find one.
Okay.
And
the bartender says, "What you doing?"
I'll bring this back right away.
The bully looks up. His eyes are all red from crying. And he's like, "You came back. You'll do the performance? Yeah, everything's okay?"
"Almost. I'll be back in 2 seconds.
Okay.
And then I walk
out. Guys, he's coming back. Bethany, he's going to perform the rest of the song tonight. Oh, my heart."
And so my intention is to walk out with the bottle of liquor and go, "What we could do is leave this, and then that'll make up for taking their horse and cart. And then I just got to figure out a way to make up for stealing the bottle of liquor."
"Oh, Alice. Okay, we should go."
"Okay. Let's go."
"We're going to the quarry."
Sure. The stoneworks, the quarry, is owned by a young woman named bordering on the edge of no longer being young, named Albiri Melico. She's a human commoner of Tetherian stock. And she's very severe, very unimpressed, and hard to deal with. Much like the granite that she quarries, she's immovable. And I'm not too sure that she likes any of the three of you, based on your personalities that you've displayed so far. You're also pretty sure that none of you like her. But it seems to be the best chance at a horse that somebody properly owns instead of stealing. Quarry is silent, dark. The dwarves are all done for the day. And they're all nestled up in the big house that Alberi owns. And the Clydesdale just has a little pasture off to the side of the quarry. And he looks to be asleep on his feet there.
Would Vivi have worked with her at all? Like, purveying potions or something?
Yes, and it has never gone over very
well. Awesome. Walking up, and she's like, okay, she's going to be really mean, but we just have to be like, you know, Ellis's father might be in super big trouble, and there's bandits. And if the bandits come, then they're probably going to raid your quarry. So this is really in everyone's benefit. Just make it.
And I have booze.
And you have booze that you stole. But we can leave that part out. It'll be fine.
Borrowed.
But that means you have to get... Never mind. We're going to be super nice, except she probably won't... let's just go. Let's just figure it out. It'll be fine. And she just knocks on the door.
Well, there's no answer to your light tapping at the door.
She looks to Score. It's like, yeah. Strength.
Score with all of his 9 strength. Well, he's agile. He will definitely pound on the door. And then are there like windows or anything that he can like kind of look around, peer through?
Yeah, they're shuttered. This is a 2-story building. Sleeps like 20 dwarves that all work the quarry and Alberi herself.
I say Score will pound on that door a few more times. And then is there any response?
Make a perception check, everyone.
Oh, my God. Critical fail.
Wow, is that the ducky die again? I think it just is weighted to the
it's,
one.
It's never done this to me before.
I got 11.
I got a 6 total.
Yeah, you guys don't hear a thing. Not a peep comes from the house.
Well, maybe we just put the bottle where the horse is and take the horse.
We can leave a note.
The Power of Friendship. This has been The Power of Friendship. Our intro and outro song is The Power of Friendship by Miss This. Check out their music on Twitter, YouTube, or join their Patreon today at Miss This Band. Join us next month for more of the adventure. And as always, thanks for listening. Ooh.